Friends, I'm happy to announce that Straight Talk has partnered with Blue Line Roasting Company to bring you delicious coffee to enjoy while you listen to this podcast. Blue Line Roasting Company also serves our first responders by giving a portion of all net proceeds to numerous organizations who support them. Order today at BlueLineRoasting.com. That's BlueLineRoasting.com. And don't forget, when you join the Straight Shooter VIP Club, you'll receive a free coffee sample and a mug, plus invitations to private podcast events.
26 officers lost their lives while on duty in 2022.
Blue lives matter in America.
Hello and welcome to another broadcast of the Straight Talk podcast with your host, former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. Thanks for joining me. I'm going to talk about a couple things today. I'm going to start here. Just some quick comments on the death of this Russian dissident or Putin opposition person who was sitting in prison, and he died last week. And of course, you know, all the stuff being thrown around about it, the suspicious nature of it, so on and so forth, that's going to happen. That's not what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is how Biden took to the microphone and he started lecturing us about the evil nature of Putin, and that Putin jails his opposition and he orders that his opposition be killed. I want to read something from this story here from his family. The guy's name is Alexei Navalny. And it says here, his team confirmed the Russian opposition figure's death Saturday, a day after Russian Federal Penitentiary Service announced he had fallen unconscious and died. Quote from his mother, Alexei Navalny was murdered. His death occurred on February 16th at 2:17 p.m. local time, according to the official message to Alexei's mother. Here's another quote. An employee of the colony said that the body of Navalny is now in Salekhard. It was picked up by investigators from the IC. They are conducting investigations, they said. His mother said, we demand Alexei Navalny's body be handed over to his family immediately. It says, Navalny's family awaited independent confirmation on the news of his death following the announcement by Russian authorities yesterday. With Navalny's wife saying, quote from his wife, we cannot believe Putin and his government. They are lying constantly, she said during a speech at the Munich Security Conference. But if it is the truth, she said, I would like Putin and all his staff and everybody around him, his government, his friends, I want them to know that they will be punished for what they have done with our country, with our family, and my husband. They will be brought to justice. And this day will come soon. Well, I don't know about that, but here's why I want to comment on that. I don't need to be lectured. I don't need to be lectured to by Joe Biden about how Putin's an evil man and how Putin jails his political opposition, when in fact that is exactly what he, the Democrats, and his administration are doing to one Donald J. Trump. That's his political opposition. And they're not even hiding it anymore. I don't know. What did they say? He's got like 91 criminal charges in, you know, 4, 5, 6 different states during a presidential election. The only thing they haven't done is physically jailed him. And they're trying to do that before November because they're afraid he might win and return to the White House. They're trying to jail their opposition. We already have people, his opposition, that are in jail. The January 6th people, jailed for being MAGA Republicans. Biden's always attacking not just Trump, but we MAGA Republicans. Putting any of us in jail that they can for who knows what they'll come up with. And so the exact thing that Biden accuses Putin of, Biden is engaging in. If they can't, don't forget, You know, Trump's an elderly man now. He's in his 70s. If they put him in jail for, let's say they give him a 10-year sentence, he's going to die in prison. That's exactly what happened here with this Alexei Navalny. Putin had him jailed, and he died in prison. That's really all I want to say about that. Now I'm going to move into this area here. It's about the Republican Party. And yeah, I know I'm hard on them, but I should be, and you should be too. They're not meeting our needs. And they aren't getting anything done with control of the House. And you know, you might be saying, well, you know, they only control the House. They don't control the Senate, and they don't control the White House. Well, there are times that they did recently, Trump's first term, and they did very little with it. Trump's biggest opposition wasn't the Democrats, even though they control they didn't control anything. We had a John Boehner / Paul Ryan-led House and a Mitch McConnell-led Senate. His biggest opposition was the damn GOP, who stood in his way, running interference for the never-Trumpers. So I sit up here and I watch some of the stuff that's going on. One of the things that I've talked and written about a lot is about the tendency of the GOP. And when I say the GOP, I want to be clear here. I'm not talking about the members. I'm talking about the elected officials. I'm not talking about the people who, you know, paid their $25 or whatever, and they sign up to be part of the Republican Party. That's not who I'm talking about when I say the GOP. I'm talking about the elected people. They are useless, the whole lot of them. And don't sit up there trying to talk into the, you know, the listening device, whatever you're listening to on this thing, and say, well, you know, this guy's a good guy and that guy's a good. No, that's like going through a bushel of rotten apples trying to find one or two that's salvageable that you'll take a bite into. I'm not touching it. I'm not going to sift through a bushel of rotten apples trying to find one that doesn't have a worm in it or is not spoiling. The whole lot, because it's a collective unit anyway. The GOP in the House and the GOP in the Senate. So I sit up here, and one of their tendencies is to engage in political cannibalism. They love doing it. Most recently, it was with the expulsion from the House of Representatives of George Santos. I am not here, ladies and gentlemen, to defend George Santos. That's for his constituents. Well, it was until the self-righteous GOP members got involved. They're the ones that pushed the move to expel him. And they shouldn't have. They don't. First of all, they don't have the numbers. They have a slim majority in the House. They can't afford to lose one member. They need them all. There is no way that if George Santos had done the same thing and he was a Democrat, there is no way Nancy Pelosi or the Democrats would have moved to expel him from the House. They would have, their attitude, we need everybody. They would have been the ones saying, let his constituents deal with that. And then even after Santos said, I won't, you know, after pressure, being pressured, he said, I won't seek re-election. Okay, fine. Then just, you know, ride it out. Let them ride it out. Get through November and keep the damn GOP vote. But oh no, the self-righteousness, the high-mindedness of the GOP. Oh, we can't have him. Oh, he's a disgrace to our party. They're a disgrace to the party. So they expelled George Santos. He represents some congressional district in, for the most part, Nassau County, which is, you know, somewhat red. It's not, it's New York, so you're not going to get a dyed-in-the-wool red district in New York. But anyway, and when Santos won, he won a seat that was held by the Democrats originally. So they expel him, and they had to hold a special election. And guess what? The Dems won the House seat back. They pulled a guy out of retirement, basically, who was a former congressman from that area who decided not to run a couple terms ago. And the Democrats pull him out to run against a woman who I met when I was in Nassau County recently. Fine woman, but I don't play that crap. This isn't to disparage her. Just a great story. Born in Ethiopia, fled to Israel, fought in the Israeli military. And she was a current, county supervisor. So she held some office at the county level. So they put her up to run. And she got trounced. It was a 10-point margin, 55-45. So they lost the seat. They got rid of Santos, but they cut off their nose to spite their face. It was stupid. I said it at the time. I probably said it on a past podcast. Leave Santos alone. Let him get through November. We'll have him till January. At least he's a Republican. Well, now they don't have it. So I hope these holier-than-thou, self-righteous, virtue-signaling members of the GOP in the House, I hope they feel good about themselves. They lost a seat. They lost a vote. And what's ironic about that is the closeness. By one vote, they were able to impeach Alejandro Mayorkas. By one vote. They lost it the first time by a couple votes, but it's because three GOP members. See what I'm talking about? This, it's like trying to herd cats. They lost the first round trying to impeach him because three Republicans, including Wisconsin's Mike Gallagher, some guy named Buck from Colorado, and I don't even remember who the third one is, broke ranks and voted not to impeach Mayorkas. Well, they were finally able to get it done last week. I think symbolically it's important. He's not going to be convicted in the Senate. But that's beside the point. That's not the House's job. The job of the House is to impeach in this process. It's the job of the Senate to convict. Don't worry about what the Senate's going to do. Do your job. It's what I always say. Do your job. But here's why I think it was important symbolically. You got to let the Democrats know. And by the way, Mayorkas has been the first cabinet member impeached since, I don't know, like the 1800s, 1876, I think. I can't remember exactly, the 1800s. And that guy resigned, but was impeached anyway after he left. So it's symbolic, but it's important. You have to tell the Democrats, no more Mr. Nice Guy. We're going to play by the same rules that you do. We're going to do unto you as you do unto us. That's why I think it's important, even though symbolically. Throw a punch, damn it. Smack them in the face, metaphorically, and then tell them, how does it feel? Did you like that? And guess what? There's more coming. Because you started this nonsense, but we're going to finish it. But oh no, the self-righteousness, the virtue signaling, oh, George Santos, oh, he's the worst of the worst. Like I said, Nancy Pelosi never would have allowed that to happen to Santos if he was a Democrat with a small margin. Do you want an example of that? Look on the other side, the Senate, U.S. Senate. Senator Bob Menendez, indicted previously, twice now though, indicted for bribery. You know, he came within one juror of being convicted. There was one holdout, so there would have been like 11 voted in favor of conviction on Menendez in his first trial, one holdout. So it was a hung jury. One holdout. So now he's been charged again with additional crimes. Not the first time, additional crimes. And he sits under indictment now. There has been no move by Chuck Schumer or the Democrats to get rid of Bob Menendez, why they only hold a 51-49 edge. They can't afford it. So on his second indictment, a couple of them came out and, well, yeah, you know, shame on Bob Menendez. But, and then they give this excuse. Well, he hasn't been convicted. Either was George Santos. And that's what the Republicans should have been saying when the Democrats were slamming Santos. Hey, he hasn't been convicted of anything. Let's wait. That would have been their out. Well, yeah, we don't support what he's been accused of doing. We don't like it, but he hasn't been convicted of anything. What are we expelling a member who hasn't been convicted? So Bob Menendez, under his second indictment, and he's a scumbag, but he's their scumbag. That's the attitude of the Democrats and Chuck Schumer over this. He's our scumbag, and we need his vote. So I come across some things here I've talked about before, but it's, you know, we need a reminder sometimes. This column here, I'm sure I read it from redstate.com. Previously, I've read this because I went through some of my old material here and I found this. I keep some of it knowing, hey, this is an evergreen, they call it. This will not get old or go away or be dated. And it says here, watching the Republican parties these days is like watching a dog attacking its own tail. Far from a well-oiled machine, the GOP has devolved into a dysfunctional mess punctuated by moments of fecklessness that push voters further away. The most recent example came as a segment of Republicans joined with Democrats to effectively scuttle an attempt to impeach DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. What seemed like an open and shut case over the last few months was punted back to committee because when push came to shove, the GOP can't bring itself to take a tough vote and move forward with a unified front. You know, those three GOPers that peeled off? Democrats do that routinely in order to move the ball forward, meaning they move as a unified front. It's always with the Democrats politically. This is political strategy, ladies and gentlemen. One team, one goal. Democrats have their differences. They keep it in-house. They don't let it get out in public. And in the end, they realize the goal is bigger than any one individual's agenda or dislike or whatever. The goal. So it says here, members of the GOP are scattered, looking after themselves, rarely seeing the forest through the trees. They won't impeach Mayorkas, well, they finally did, because it might cost a seat in some blue state. But by not impeaching him, they suppress their own voters, leaving to ask what the point of voting Republican even is anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a problem. The GOP, and now I'm talking about like the RNC and the Senatorial Committee and the House Republican Committee, they're going to screw this up. How do I know that? Because they screwed up the midterms. That should have been a wipeout. The red wave, it should have been a wipeout, and it never materialized. You know why? Because of what I just read to you from this article in Red State. They screw everything up. So it looks like a sure, and you know, you know what I'm talking about. Oh, look at the economy. Oh, look at inflation. Look at, you know, the crime. Look at, well, the woman, excuse me, who ran as a Republican to replace George Santos, she ran on those issues. The border, she ran. She mentioned her. My opponent supports open borders. He supports blah, 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 inflation and this. Didn't work. Why didn't it work? Messaging's off. You have to have the message. She had the message, but you have to be able to have that carry over and transfer over to the voters, over to votes. We all know it. Economy, Biden has screwed everything up. Biden has, and the Democrats. They've screwed everything up. But for some odd reason, they're not able to take that message and have it transfer over to votes at election time. That's why I said they're going to screw this thing up in November. Biden's not worried about it. The Democrats are not worried about inflation, gas prices, wars that the United States is involved in indirectly. Excuse me. Democrats aren't worried about that. Because when push comes to shove, they're going to be lockstep. They're voters. They're in tune with their voters, and they know how to get the vote out. Our side does not. The RNC, they suck at getting out the vote, and they suck at raising money. So that's why I think they're going to screw this up. I still think Biden can win. I also think Trump can win. But you know what that is? That's 50-50. It shouldn't be anywhere close to that with what's going on in the country and what's going on in the world. So I received this list from a gentleman I know. And he makes the case, he lays it out here. The problems in America are legion and massive, including. So here's the problem. Here's how to frame the message. He frames it here, which means, you know, this put it around these things here, and then you can reorder it and you can organize it, whatever. You don't have to have all of it in here, but here's what the GOP's not doing. They're still fooling around with Hunter Biden. Let me write a memo to the RNC. Let me write a memo to the GOP in the House and the Senate. Basically, the voters, the independent voters and the Democrats, they don't give a damn about Hunter Biden. I just think I'd let you in on that little secret. They do not. They're not moved by that. And you know what else? This other little secret I'll pass on to the GOP in the Congress. Hunter Biden's not going to be on the ballot. He's not. He's another scumbag. We know that. He's not going to be on the ballot. So they're still fooling around with that. Instead of, and I'm going to go through this list here. The problems in America are legion and massive, including open southern and northern borders, over 100,000 annual drug deaths, fentanyl, etc., by pills from China coming across an open border. Internationally wanted criminals, drug cartel members, terrorists by the thousands are walking into America through Biden's open borders. A major movement to defund and demonize law enforcement. Out of control spending leading to massive debt. Inflation, war on fossil fuels, war on God, religion, Jews, evangelicals, Catholics, religious liberty. Using federal government agencies, including the IRS, the FBI, the CIA, the DOJ, and the military to spy on and jail bankrupt conservatives / Republicans. I think I opened the podcast with talking about this guy in Russia, where Biden's lecturing us about how Putin's a bad guy because he jails dissident. They're doing the same damn thing to us. Boys and men in girls' women's bathrooms, shower rooms on school trips. Boys/men participating and dominating in girls' sports. Sexually graphic and explicit books are being used in K-1, 2, and 3. Good to grades. Prosecutors refusing to prosecute, jail, and punish theft. Babies can be killed up to minutes before death. That's how this, and this is one guy's list, one guy's opinion. Actually, he says at the end, you and I could both add many more to the list. But at least he framed it. These are the issues that I think will move independents and maybe even energize Republicans if we stay focused on this. And nothing's going to happen to Hunter Biden. I know he's got these charges. Of all the crap that he did, the most important thing was Joe involved in this stuff? And we know he was. He wasn't indicted for that. He's charged with some gun violations and not paying his taxes. Isn't that moving the needle on Joe Biden? because of something his son did? And I'm not suggesting they shouldn't go after him. They should, but we shouldn't focus on that. It's a distraction. The House and the Senate GOP should be focusing on and repeating this list that I just said. Hey, America's in trouble. I mean, we already know from the polling that, you know, what is it, like 70% of those polled think America's on the wrong track? You know why? Because of this list I just read. The American people know it. So, I mean, you look at this thing in New York. I mean, you know, it's a byproduct of the open borders. Joe Biden's open border policy. These scoundrels that attack a couple of NYPD officers in Times Square, arrested and quickly released on their no bail policy, revolving door. Then only because of shame and public pressure did Alvin Bragg bring indictments against these clowns. I don't even know if we know who they are. They might have some, and by the way, only two are in custody since the indictment. And it was like seven of them involved. They're in the wind. We don't know if we'll ever see them again. But just because they're indicted, you know, that's just to get rid of the story. See how the Democrats work? Hey, we need this to go away because we're getting killed. We're getting hammered on the crime issue. And look at this, any open border issue, two for one. And he got rid of it. He brought forth some indictments. And, you know, it kind of simmered down. That's beside the point. You know what else was wrong here? The fact that they're a sanctuary city. You know what else is wrong here with this New York NYPD and this New York situation? Besides the open borders and sanctuary city, the fact that they have a law that prohibits local law enforcement from working with ICE on the immigration issue. There's this program called the 287G, in which ICE will train local law enforcement officers, and then after training them on federal immigration law, meaning training, deputize them as deputy ICE agents, which gives them the authority to enforce immigration law. It's a federal program. There are some states, and there are some states as I speak, Minnesota is one of them. In their legislature, they're trying to enact a bill, pass a law that prohibits local law enforcement officers in the state of Minnesota from working with ICE. Prohibits them from doing it. When I was a sheriff, I worked with the local ICE office. I gave them a computer. And all the booking names every day, ICE went through it. And they'd pick out ones if they found, hey, hold on to this guy here. We're looking further into this. I gave them the information. I was getting hammered politically in this uber lefty county. I didn't care. It didn't cost me an election. You know, law enforcement is supposed to work together. The problem's too big for just federal agents to work on this thing. Use the local law enforcement who has more and direct contact with the citizenry and the non-citizenry, the people on the streets, than ICE agents do. So that's a problem. Bragg didn't fix that. Bragg should be going to the state legislature and say, you got to repeal that law. You got to repeal all these bad policies because they're hurting our residents. But that didn't happen. So it wasn't, you know, okay, you got some indictments and then everybody just kind of like, well, good, now they'll be brought to justice. No, they won't. This is deeper than that, than the fact that the no bail policy allowed these guys to quickly be released. It's the fact that they should have turned them over to ICE after they were arrested and their local charges were processed. Instead of releasing them into the wind, they should have called ICE. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and said, hey, we got some guys here we think you'd be interested in. If you want to put a hold on them, send it over to us, and we'll hold these guys pending your investigation. That's how that program works. That's what we were doing in the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office. So that still exists. What, you know, but Bragg made the brush fire go away. See how slick the damn Democrats are? So how many times haven't you heard me say in this podcast, our messaging's off, our meaning conservatives, GOP, two separate entities. I'm not a Republican. I'm a conservative who happens to vote for Republicans. I don't belong to a political party. I don't believe in it. Never have, never will. Allows me to hold the GOP side accountable. You know, when I talk about, you know, one team, one goal, well, that's for the Republicans. And not for conservatives, it's not for independents. And by the way, most people that vote Democrat do not belong, they're not members of the Democrat Party. Most people who vote Republican are not members of the Republican Party. They just vote that way. I don't know, they figured it out, like 20% of the people who vote Republican belong to the Republican Party, and then even locally, and the same with Democrats. Most people in the middle do not belong to those parties. That's where I am at. That's exactly where I'm at. I don't belong to the Republican Party. I have my issues with the Republican Party. I'm a conservative, rock solid conservative. I'm a limited government constitutionalist. I was a constitutional sheriff. I believe in military superiority and safe streets here at home. I believe that the Constitution protects individuals, not groups, meaning you don't derive your constitutional rights from membership in a group. Those are individual rights. Less spending, I said limited government, conservative I am. More rights for the states, and I believe in the rule of law. That's what it means for me to be a conservative. It's not the sole purview of the Republican Party. In fact, the way they're behaving, and I talked a little bit about it today, and I talk about it a lot on this podcast, many of these members of Congress, they don't even subscribe to what I just said. At least they don't behave like it. They could say they do. Oh, I'm a conservative. Really? How can you vote to approve these massive spending bills with no way to pay for them? Adding on to the national debt, and you call yourself a limited government, less spending conservative? Really? Get out of here with that crap. So the last thing I want to talk about here, kind of a side issue, but I think it's important. Social media slams the hell out of Tucker Carlson after claiming Derek Chauvin did not murder George Floyd. Former Fox News anchor Tucker Carlson has lost his mind, this article says. This is from HollywoodUnlocked.com. The controversial commentator sparked outrage on social media after expressing support for ex-Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, who was convicted of murdering George Floyd. Carlson's controversial remarks during his talk show on X have ignited widespread criticism. During the segment, Carlson reiterated his belief that Chauvin did not murder George Floyd, claiming that the former officer's actions were not the cause of Floyd's death. He suggested that Floyd likely died of a drug overdose, citing reports claiming the presence of fatal levels of fentanyl in his system. This is a quote. One of the great moral atrocities in the last several years was taking place right before us, and very few are remarking upon it. This is according to Carlson. It has to do with Derek Chauvin. He said the problem is that he did not murder George Floyd. And we know that conclusively because the medical examiner who performed the autopsy on Floyd confirmed he was not asphyxiated. So it says, rightfully, Carlson's remarks were met with immediate backlash on social media platforms. All right, let me break in right here. Carlson is correct. Carlson has the courage. He's the only one with the courage at this point, knowing what we know now, not in the early days, but what we know now, these four officers, I think there's four of them, who are sitting in prison over this, were wrongfully convicted. They were. That's not an opinion. They were denied due process. The state withheld evidence from the trial that it's called exculpatory, that may have assisted in their acquittal. They're, by law, remember I said I believe in the rule of law? By law, they're supposed to turn over all that evidence to the defense, and they didn't. That means they were denied due process, which means to me they're wrongfully convicted and wrongfully imprisoned. That's just one aspect. And if you really want to know what happened, there's a documentary out there. It got very little play. The leftist media did their damnedest to suppress this documentary. It's called The Fall of Minneapolis. Watch it. Put in a search engine, look it up. It only lasts about an hour, if that. And it makes the case, it lays out what really happened. Not just on the scene there, but in the aftermath. It's another example of how our criminal justice system has no credibility. None. Derek Chauvin did not murder George Floyd. He didn't even cause his death. So Tucker Carlson, of course, says that. And this is how the Democrats work. When something like that happens, they go, we got to squash this. Oh, this could be trouble. If people start to poke around and start to learn the truth, oh my gosh, this is not good. St. George Floyd. He's a creep. He caused his own death. So I encourage, as a matter of fact, that's your homework. Look up and watch the documentary, The Fall of Minneapolis, and it lays out the case. It's done by a local reporter there, an award-winning local reporter, not by some right-winger. So Carlson has the courage to utter the truth, and he's met with this backlash. And you know what? Let's be honest, folks. Come on now. This is you and me talking. There's probably some of you, I didn't say all and I didn't say many. There's probably some of you that, well, this, I can't say anything bad about it. I don't want that coming at, I don't want have to deal with what Carlson has to put up with. We'd rather just look the other way. We can't look the other way. It's an injustice. I want justice to prevail. And if that means a conclusion that I don't like, if justice prevails, then that's the goal. Doesn't always go our way. But I don't want people imprisoned who are denied due process. You know, we claim this stuff, right? We walk around with this, you know, all the Justice Department, justice must prevail, people must be brought to justice. And then people make up their own damn definition of justice. And in this case, is we got a chance to imprison and hammer some law enforcement officers. This is coming from the left. And they're served up on a platter and we need to take advantage of it. Cops aren't perfect. Nobody's saying that. I had some problems with what I saw. But the problems I have and how those officers perform, you know, that might be a civil issue for the family to sue the Minneapolis Police Department and the city of Minneapolis. It certainly isn't criminal. Not if you include all of the evidence, because in most cases, the prosecutor, and don't forget who the prosecutor was, that clown AG in Minnesota, his name escapes me. A prosecutor who has integrity would have looked at this whole thing and said, yeah, this is not going to make a lot of people happy, but the fact is there's no basis here for criminal charges. That would have happened under most circumstances, like it usually does, and it's happened before. You know, look at Ferguson, Missouri. Oh, you know, remember, hands up, don't shoot. Oh, he shot Mike Brown in the back and, you know, hands up, don't shoot and all this crap. Come to find out after the investigation, And it went to a grand jury. And they said, that's it. An officer didn't murder Mike Brown. And you know, the left has to live with that. Meaning, you don't like it, but too bad. I don't care what you don't like. An officer didn't commit a crime. Ferguson police officer. And shouldn't be held accountable for murder when he didn't murder anybody. It was an act of self-defense. It's an example. Sometimes the decisions don't go your way. Well, you know what? That's just the way it is. Or at least the way it should be. Thanks for listening. When you talk about race, crime, and politics, some folks lose sleep over this, but not me, because I sleep just fine on my Giza Dream Sheets and Pillow from MyPillow, especially this new 2.0. If you haven't gotten yours yet, you are missing out. Just go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Clark, that's C-L-A-R-K-E, and save up to 66% off. The direct link is also available on my website, AmericaSheriff.com. Get a great night's sleep so we can continue the fight. Friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's episode of Straight Talk with yours truly, America's Sheriff David Clark. And a special thank you also goes out to our sponsors. My goal, as always, is to break down these complex and many times controversial issues and bring it to you straight with a little dose of common sense, no media bias, no talking points, just truth. And this podcast would not be possible without your support. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave a review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite place to listen. And please share this message of common sense on social media. For more content, be sure to follow me on Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And just a reminder, we'd love for you to join our Straight Shooters VIP podcast club for only $5 per month. And with that membership, you'll receive invitations to attend private podcast events throughout the year as a VIP guest when we come to your town. Plus, if you join today, you'll also receive a free coffee mug and a sample of our private label coffee as long as supplies last. Subscribe and join at AmericaSheriff.com. This podcast is brought to you by AmericaSheriff.com with executive producer Judy Wilkinson of J.L. Wilkinson Consulting and producer Josh Wentz in partnership with our friends at Bulldog Media. If you are interested in partnering with Straight Talk Podcasts or having me speak in your area, please contact Judy at jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com, 706-518-2116. That's jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com. Phone number 706-518-2116.